forgot your dog treats. You'll have to remind me because my brain can't remember.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Hello, everybody.
Good morning.
Today, I want to talk about hell-shaking prayer.
Praise God.
And that's why the majority of people aren't here today. The devil doesn't want them here. The devil does not want us in prayer. The devil does not want us to understand how important prayer is. A lot of people, as they're raised through different denominations, you know, they're told to say their prayers at nighttime before they go to bed, and that's all you got to do. But you know, with every family, if you don't spend time with your family, what happens? You start growing apart. You don't really know anything about the others. Well, the Lord is our Father, Heavenly Father. And when we pray, we're building that relationship. And to build that relationship, it takes time. So the Lord deserves more than 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day. There's no number you can put on it. There's people who pray for hours. You go to a prayer closet, you might leave, it could be 2 or 3 hours later, because the time will go that quickly when you're with the Heavenly Father. But that's how you build the relationship. And that's when the Lord works. The Lord doesn't work through the Christians who think that they can just say, "Lord God, thank us, you know, thank you for letting me live today. Help me tomorrow, and help me with my finances. In Jesus' name, amen." That's not a very heartfelt prayer. That's not a passionate prayer. And today I wanted to start off talking about the prayer of Jabez. In 1 Chronicles 4:10, which we're going to read here in a second, Jabez prays to the Lord. And he has 4 requests. So I'll read this first and then we'll go over some more information about his request. But again, it's in 1 Chronicles 4:10 is where we're going to start. Give me a second here, I didn't even mark it.
The Lord wants to have a relationship with us.
Just give me a second here. Try to move my notes to the side. Funny, some of my tabs bent under.
Well,
see, the devil.
The Holy Spirit just had me move my pages, and there it was.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get it that way, or you have to look it up.
Good. There it is. There it is. It was right there, and I couldn't even read it. 1 Chronicles 4:10. That's why I usually mark everything.
That's what happened to me last time I preached.
All right. Starting off here, now Jabez called on God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me." And God granted him what he requested. See, there's actually 4 requests there. Jabez asked the Lord to bless him. That's the first thing. The second thing, he asked God to enlarge his territory or to increase his responsibility. The third thing, he prayed that God would be with him and stay close to him so the Lord would never leave him. He was afraid of the Lord leaving him. The last, Jabez asked that God keep him from harm so that he will be free from pain. Now, all of these things were honored because it was a passionate prayer. Jabez was very concerned. But if you look at it, one thing would have took care of all of those things. Asking the Lord to be with you. Again, it goes back to the relationship you have with the Lord through prayer. That is the most important thing there. And Jabez is only mentioned 3 times in the Bible. And 2 other times it's mentioned as a place. That's the only time he's mentioned as a person. But it was so important that when the writers of the Bible were writing these things through the power of the Holy Spirit, they mentioned this man one time only because of prayer. Because the Lord wants to get it through our thick skulls on how important it is to pray and what prayer means to Him. The Lord never acts without prayer. The Lord will tell you to pray for somebody when He knows that that somebody has already got a problem. Because the Lord wants to, for His glory to shine, and He wants everyone to know that the person was either healed, saved, delivered, whatever the case might be, because of Him.
Amen.
Well, if He did everything privately, nobody would ever know, and there would be a lot more people going to hell, because a lot of us, we don't believe the things that we hear, we don't believe the things that we read, we believe the things that we physically see. And we want to know that the Lord is there. There's been so many people in the Bible who said, Lord, give us a sign. Even when Jesus, the religious leaders of the time asked Jesus, give us a sign. And He said, oh, you wicked people, I'm not giving you no sign. The only sign you get is of Jonah and the whale. You've already had a sign. The Lord wants us to believe with faith. But your faith is increased through prayer. It all starts with prayer. Prayer is the foundation that we have. But let's look at Mark 11, verse 23 through 24. That one I can find a little quicker. So, beginning in Mark 11, verse 23, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted to him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and it will be granted to you.
Amen.
You must pray. It is so important to pray. There's a story. There's a lady, preacher. Her name was Amy Semple McPherson. And she was a Pentecostal preacher. And she decided to kind of go against the grain. She didn't believe that the Lord cared if she wore makeup or looked pretty. She wasn't going to get all into, you had to look this way and you had to do this. So she did what she wanted to do. Well, she went around doing all sorts of things for the Lord. The Lord used her greatly. Well, one day, she was going to be preaching, and the newspapers were trying to prove that she was fake, that everything she was doing, there was a reason behind it. They actually thought that when she prayed for somebody and they went out in the spirit, that she had a wire coming out her sleeve, and as soon as she touched them, electricity would hit these people and knock them on the ground. So, a newspaper reporter got there early, and he went over to one of the ushers, and he said, excuse me, sir. He said, where's the power generator for this building? And the guy looked at him, he said, it's downstairs, right through there. Well, the newspaper reporter got all anxious and excited. He ran down there with his cameras. And as soon as he got down there, guess what he found? 50 old grandmothers praying on their knees to the Lord. That was the power generator. A lot of preachers have people praying as they're preaching.
Right.
Because the power of the Lord moves that way. And sure enough, she'd be preaching and half the crowd would just go down, just out in the spirit. People getting healed, delivered, just because she's up there preaching. Why? She spent a lot of time in prayer. And during her service, she had all these people praying, and they would not stop. They prayed during the whole service. But that was the power. The power is always through prayer. I love that story. I love that story.
Yeah, that's right.
So now, next, let's look in Luke 18, verse 1 through 7.
That's where it starts.
I can just see the look on that reporter's face when he walked in, opened that door. I'm thinking, there ain't no power generator down here. What's he talking about? Yeah, that's good. So again, Luke 18, verses 1 through 7. Now he was telling them a parable to show them that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, And she kept coming to him saying, "Give me legal protection from my opponent." For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, "Even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night, and will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith on the earth." So he's asking, the Lord wants to know, if he's going to find faith on the earth, you know what he wants to know? Is he going to find people praying? Is he going to find people down on their knees praying to the Lord when he comes? You can't have faith without prayer. If you don't pray, you're going to end up going the other way. It's so easy for you to lose faith. It's so easy for you to turn around and to do what you're not supposed to do, because you spend less time in prayer. You're not building that relationship with our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Now I want to look at James 5:16. "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much."
Amen.
See, if you're not where you're supposed to be with the Lord wants to get you there first. He wants you to be righteous in his eyes. If you're righteous in the Lord's eyes, he will answer your prayers. He will listen to you. He will always be there. But the people who sit there and act like they, you know, "I believe in God," and they don't even try to follow the Lord, they don't try to do anything at all, the Lord hears them, but who says he's going to act? That's the way that the Lord brings you to him. Most people do not find the Lord until they have calamity. When they go through problems, and when they can't handle things, and when they finally give up, or they can't handle it on their own, that's when people fall down on their knees. That's when the people start seeking the Lord. And that's when they become righteous in the Lord's eyes and he answers their prayers.
Amen.
But the Lord has to get them to a place first to come to him.
Amen.
And that's why the Lord sometimes will not answer prayers, or he'll take a long time to answer prayers. It's because he's trying to get you to a place where you need to be, and he's trying to get you to a place where you learn the lessons that he wants you to learn. But let's go over one more scripture. Proverbs 28, verse 9. "He who turns away his ear from listening to the law, even his prayer is an abomination." So again, the things that Jesus has told us, the things that we know that are right, the things that we know that are wrong, if we do not follow these things, if we don't try our hardest to follow these things, then the Lord doesn't want to hear your prayer. But the Lord, when you're trying and you repent, repentance is the key. But you can't repent without prayer. So when you fall into prayer and you repent to the Lord, and tell the Lord all the things that you're sorry for, to help you, the Lord will pick you up, and he'll listen to everything you have to say. And then he knows, because he's got a big bucket next to him that's filled up with all your prayers or all your moans and groans. And the Lord starts working with you. He starts trying to help deliver you, to set you free, because you've been a captive for all these years. And what is it that started the ball rolling on setting you free? Prayer. Intimate prayer. That's why Jesus had told his disciples, don't pray like the pagans. Don't just have a prayer that's written out every day and that's the only thing you pray. That's not something that's heartfelt. That's like people going to court and sticking their hand up and just saying, "I do," and then not even realizing that part of everything is over, right? People won't remember because it's just a natural habit. You just go through things, right? I remember when I was younger, my mom used to help have me say that little kid's prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep, right? You know, there's still adults that pray that prayer every day. You know? But how heartfelt is that after you've prayed it a million times? You know, the Lord wants to know your heart. He wants to understand you. He wants you to come out in the open and tell Him. Just like Cain and Abel. When Cain killed Abel, do you not think that the Lord knew what happened before He asked him, Cain, where's your brother? Don't you think He already knew? Because He told him right away, I hear the cry from his blood. He already knew. It's the same thing with prayer. The Lord knows what's wrong with you. But since you have free will, the Lord wants you to tell Him. The Lord wants you to come to Him. He is our Father. We should treat Him with the respect of a father. We shouldn't treat the Lord as just a hobby or something that we just talk to every once in a while and hope to God that something, you know, some good luck or some our numbers come up or something. That's not the Lord. That's the way we end up treating the Lord. We don't spend enough time. A lot of us sit there and we think about it and I pray all the time. Oh, really? Do you really? How much time do you really spend with the Lord? You know, it's not something either. You go into a closet or go someplace privately and you say, okay, I'm going to be here for exactly 15 minutes. No. When you get in there and you start praying, I start praying for everybody I know, one at a time. I start praying for, and as soon as their names pop up in my head, I start praying. That prayer for that one person could be 5 minutes. That's how you do it. You pray to the Lord. You tell the Lord everything that's on your heart. You pray for everyone you know. You're supposed to, you know, we are supposed to pray for the rain. Pray for our land. We see what's going on with our world. We know the problems that we have. But you still pray. You ask the Lord, Lord, you know, bless our government. Help these people, right? But help them make the right decisions. Put the right people in power to make these decisions for us, right? Just like at work. Every one of us go through problems at work. And the more, and Stephanie and I were talking about this last night, the more people persecute you at work, especially when there's no, you're not doing anything wrong, you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be, maybe even more, but you get persecuted, people talk about you, they slander you, that's only because your spirit is different from their spirit. The devil don't like you, he hates you. He's going to look for every opportunity to smash you down, to kick you in the face, at every opportunity. It doesn't matter what it's about. It could be something so simple of taking out a trash can or something. It doesn't matter what it is. The devil's always going to find a way to get someone to persecute you. And that's what you do. You turn around and you pray to the Lord. Lord, I've had enough of this devil. Please move him out of my way. Move him out of my way. You know? Please help this person. Open up their eyes. Then pray for that person. Don't put judgment on this person. Because I feel very sorry for these people who the devil just slings around. Because these people, they don't, a lot of times they're so pushed down, they don't know where they are. They're so much of a captive, they don't have one pair of handcuffs, they got three or four. And they can't see beyond their own eyelids. They don't know what's going on. So that's why you got to separate these things. And you got to pray for these people out of compassion and out of love. You don't ever pray for anybody in anger. That's another thing I want to discuss today. Some people will pray, you know, Lord, you know, financially ruin this person. You know, Lord, I make that man have a flat on the side of the road one day in the heat. You don't do that. You don't ever pray bad things to people. I mean, sometimes we have things that cross our mind, and that's when we need to tell the Lord, ask the Lord to forgive us. But we don't need to be praying like that. There's a lot of places, a lot of people, I've heard it come out of their mouths. Let's pray that, you know, the devil will get a hold of this person, or this person will suffer somehow. Don't ever pray like that. Don't ever pray like that. That's not of the Lord. The Lord wants everyone to be there with Him, to worship Him. The Lord wants us all to be a huge family. Now, He knows it ain't going to happen, but He's trying to bring everybody into the fold that He can bring. He's our shepherd. He's trying to bring all of us little sheep in there. But sometimes there's so many wolves out there that keep trying to grab people. They keep trying to just devour you. That's the people you got to look for. You got to look out for. But it ain't for you to judge. That's not our job. Our job is to pray for these people. Let the judgment lay where the judgment lays when they die. That person could be saved in the last minute, just like the thief on the cross. But prayer. And you know, even Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, was on his knees praying to the Heavenly Father. What makes you, or any of us, too good to be on our knees when we can be, praying to the Lord? A lot of people just, you know why? It ain't comfortable. It ain't a position that we want to be in. Maybe it hurts your elbows or hurts your knees after a while. Put a pad under them, you know? But even Jesus himself was on his knees. That should let you know something. It is a time of reverence when you pray to the Heavenly Father, because he's listening. He's listening right now. And it's kind of weird. Yesterday I'm praying to the Lord. I said, Lord, give me a message. Give me something. And that's what I do all the time. Give me something, Lord. I don't just pick something out of the Bible and start going with it. I ask the Lord, give me something to tell somebody, to tell these people, right? And I start putting stuff on the internet too at the same time, but I ask the Lord. So, all of a sudden, I'm sitting there, and all these things start hitting me three, four different ways about prayer. Well, I decide, okay, I'm going to start looking up verses on prayer. I look it up. I've got some of the verses written down already. And then all of a sudden, I open up a book that I'm reading, and all of a sudden, the first page I turn to is talking about prayer. Then all of a sudden, I go to the internet, and I'm looking on Facebook, and then somebody else says, yeah, my preacher gave a great sermon today on prayer. You see, that's the Lord letting me know that we need to know more about prayer. A lot of people think it's so simple, but we need to start with the basic foundation. But that basic foundation is what gets you on top of the mountain. That without that, we all suffer. We never get off the ground. Our foundation will crumble without prayer. And the way I look at it is, if Jesus is in the Bible praying, boy, we better be praying twice as much as he did. Because we needed a lot more. We're not perfect like he was. We didn't walk as humble and as prideless as Jesus. But praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And it's really good to look through your Bibles and look up verses on praying, on prayer. You always need to keep reading that stuff. Always need to keep reading it. You got to stay in the Word and you got to keep praying. How many of us here have had prayers answered? And do you really think that the Lord would have done anything if you wouldn't have prayed and asked Him? I don't think so. See, the Lord lets you handle anything on your own because you got free will. We need to spend more time in prayer. A lot of people, a friend of mine, said, man, I don't have time. And every time I call him, he is busy. He's got five kids. Young little kids. He's busy. You know, when he's not at work, at the airport, he's working at home. He's with the kids. He's doing something. But you know what? The devil will get you busy. The devil will keep you busy so you can't speak to the Lord. So you can't get into the Word. No one said he had to be in the Word an hour, two, three, 4 hours a day. You can get in and read a couple verses. Something's better than nothing. And that's another thing. When the devil gets you that busy, I guarantee you'll start skipping some prayers. He did. I have. It's easy to say, man, I haven't prayed in 2 or 3 days. I've been so busy. Well, that's the devil. The devil, you know, he'll do a lot of things. It'll even look like good things. But he'll do it to keep you from praying. That's why when people start praying in tongues, in the Spirit, which is also another way the Lord wants you to worship Him. Or the devil, he don't like that because that's a straight, direct communication right there. That'll make Heavenly Father turn around and look right down at you. That's strong. Man, the phone will start ringing. People start knocking on your door. All sorts of things will happen. But now let's all pray together. Let's all pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we love you.
Praise
we need you, Lord. Lord, please help us. Help us in our prayer time with you. For Lord God, we all know that we need to build our relationship with you every day, and we never can have a good enough relationship with you, Lord. And we ask you to strengthen our prayers, Lord God, to open up our hearts, to bring people that we need to pray for in our memories so we can pray for them. Please give us the words to say, Heavenly Father. Please work through us, Lord God, to help these people. And Lord, we know that you don't move without prayer. And we know, Lord God, that you want to hear us pray. You want to hear us ask. For Lord, you are so excited, and you're sitting there just wanting to answer our prayers, Lord God. And you're waiting. And we ask you humbly, Lord God, to help us pray unselfish prayers. To pray for things, Lord God, that you would have us pray for. And to have us understand, Lord, that our prayers will be answered. And give us the faith that we need, Lord God, to walk away from that prayer knowing that you have listened and you were there and you will answer our prayers, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, we also want to thank you for all of our blessings right now. We want to pray for all those who aren't here today. We want to pray for all those that we know that are being persecuted for your name's sake. And we want to pray for all the children, Lord God, around the world. The ones who are going through droughts. The ones who are being afflicted with diseases and illnesses. All those children, Heavenly Father. All the ones who are in the hospitals and St. Jude's and all the other hospitals. We pray for them today, Lord God, because they're innocent little children. And we know they need help, Lord. We ask you to deliver them, to set them free and to open up their eyes and let them follow you, Heavenly Father. Let their parents and the doctors, let everybody you know, anybody around these children know, all across the world, that you are the one who has healed these children. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you. May your name be as holy on earth as it is in heaven. May every knee bow to you, Lord. And may every tongue confess that you are the Lord our God. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. Amen. So, if anything we learned today is how we don't pray enough, and that's probably all of us. We can all find some private time. You know, now, even when I go to the bathroom at work or I go somewhere, stand by myself, I'll pray. Even if it's only 5 minutes, I'll pray. Amazing. The Lord, He'll work more through your life the more you pray. If you want more of a miracle, pray more. If you want less of a miracle, don't pray. I guarantee you'll either get results or you won't. It's up to you on what you choose. That's all I have today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you know, praying, just another thing off the topic there. Whenever you're spending time with the Lord, sing songs to the Lord, praise and worship the Lord. That's part of your praying. It ain't just asking the Lord everything. It's also worshiping the Lord, telling the Lord you love Him, telling Him how great He is and all the things He's done to you, done for you. Remind Him of all the times He's delivered you, all the things He's done for you. Remind Him. He wants to hear it. Because when he hears it coming from you, he knows you remembered and you're appreciative. Everybody wants to help somebody who's appreciative, right? You don't want to stop off on the side of the road and help somebody change a tire and then them turn around and just get in their car and drive off and not say thank you. You know, you're thinking, oh, at least they could have said was thank you. It's the same way. The Lord wants us to be appreciative. He wants us to remind him of the things that he's done in our life. Praise the Lord.